Clay County High School has a new principal. We have Dr. Gary Tinsley in the studio with us today. Welcome, Dr. Tinsley.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming down from Clay County. That's a pretty good little drive. So started out in Jackson most recently, and now yes. Clay County High School principal.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got there, where you grew up.
Well, actually, I grew up in Clay County. Graduated from the old high school in 1994. Went off to Tech and got my education degree at Tech, plus a master's in EDS, and then most recently I got my doctorate at Freed Hardeman. Spent a couple of years in the Putnam County school system, made my way home for a little while, and ended up in Jackson County for about 10 years. That's where I had my first principal assignment at the middle school over there. Can't say enough about that school and all the people in Jackson County. It's really good to me. And then and now I'm back in Clay County as a high school principal, so really enjoying it.
Full circle. So did you set out to be? Did you always know you were going to be a teacher, principal? Did you set out to be something different?
In college I did major in a couple of things. You know, a lot of us start out one way and we make a couple of changes. I think I was in engineering for a semester or two and tried business, and I ended up in education. So
in education, yeah. Do you have family members that are educators?
I don't. My wife is a teacher at Jackson County High School.
Okay,
teaches English, and she's got several in her family. But no, in my family, I don't have anyone that was an example before me. So
okay, I see that a lot. So yeah. I talked to a lot of people, and generally, there's especially if somebody didn't start in education, but they found their way back into it.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Seems like sometimes it's a whole family that ends up being teachers. So
yeah, it is. I was just talking to an advisor from Tech, and he'd started out in the school system, but his wife is in the school system. Both his boys are in the school system. His daughter's heading to the school system. His brother's in the school system. So
right.
So a lot of times that the family, you know, there's a lot of family yeah. members in education. Backing further up than when yes. from coming to Tech. So mm-hmm. tell me a little bit about your favorite teacher growing up. So that's one of my favorite questions. I like to hear.
I have a lot. Me and my classmates growing up, we talked about it. We had a lot of really good teachers. I guess one I remember probably because I had her 2 years in a row was Miss Faye Watson. Had her for social studies in seventh and eighth grade, and you know, just she always ran a great classroom. She made it fun, told stories. You know, it was always an enjoyable experience in her room.
Yeah. Are you social studies? Did you do social studies history? What is your area?
My initial certification was secondary education and with biology.
Biology.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you teach?
I taught biology a couple of years, and then eventually I settled in middle school for several years, and then in Jackson County, when I first went there, I taught at the high school. I taught physical science and environmental science.
Okay. What do you think about, not to go straight political here, but just some of the changes, because we're always, so in the College of Ed, when we're working with our teachers, we're always keeping up with the changes of the state, and it changes a lot. What do you think about the changes in licensure and the ability to test into other areas as a small school district? Have you seen that be beneficial to you? And thinking back to when you came along, you know, you're teaching biology and all of a sudden, you know, you need someone in history or you need to pick up a couple classes, the ability to just take that praxis and make that transition.
Yeah. Definitely in recent years, there's been a little bit of a teacher shortage, and having some of those options is beneficial. When I first became a principal 6 years ago, you know, we didn't have anyone who wasn't certified. They all went to college to be a teacher. They're certified. And after COVID, it seemed like, it just kept changing, and we kept needing those folks. You know, every year we needed teachers, and so we've had job embedded, we've had permits, waivers, you know, we've made use of all of those options, and it has helped us.
Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of changed the nature of teacher licensure. You know, we've adapted, and we've had in the past few years, at one point we actually had more job embedded candidates in our program than we did undergrad licensure candidates in our program, which if you'd said that was going to happen 20 years ago, I would have laughed about it. You know, it wasn't a conversation.
Right.
And it's been a big shift. How do you think we get out of that? And that's a complicated question.
Oh,
I know,
yeah.
But
yeah, it is. I think one of the things is we need to talk positively about the teaching profession. You know, and there are a lot of challenges to teaching, but I think and I've probably been guilty at times myself of focusing on the things that are the challenges and not the things that are the rewards. So I think we do need to get on a path where we're promoting teaching as a wonderful experience, because it is. So.
Mm-hmm. And that rewarding piece, I think it's all too – it's easy – to get hung up on the negative side and the difficulties. And,
yes.
And we do our best at Tech to be realistic. I mean, we want to be positive with our up and coming teachers, and we want them to stick with it and go into the profession, but we try to be realistic too, that there are difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
But they've all been cornered by someone who said, don't do it.
Right.
You know, don't go into teaching. And that's so frustrating when you hear that. And I don't know how to combat that on a statewide, on a nationwide level.
Right. I think it's going to be in how we talk about it is going to have a lot to do with it. And, you know, and sometimes teachers, we're the worst. We're the ones in it. We're the ones talking about the struggles. But, yeah, I think we need to change the conversation about teaching. So.
Mm-hmm. I think that the TAP programs
mm-hmm.
are a positive. I think that's a good positive avenue for teachers, and I think it's helpful for those that have those good experiences. I know that we have some alumni in Macon County who've done a really good job with their TAP programs and grow them and have brought them to Tech, and so I know that there are areas where that's going well, and to me that's an encouraging pathway to show them the value in teaching and some of those positive pieces.
Yeah, I agree.
So in Clay County, so tell me a little bit about Clay County High School for those that don't know, about size, the right. Some of the programs you have going on.
So we have over 300 kids, 320, 330, somewhere around in there. So small school. We offer, of course, all the traditional classes, but in addition to that, we have on-site, we have some TCAC courses, we have welding. We have one section of cybersecurity, and we also have a TCAT nursing class. So that's pretty exciting. This year, what we've added in Clay County is the AIRS Foundation have, we've partnered with them, and they have put people in our school who work directly with our seniors and walking them through the process of what they're going to do after high school. They walk them through filling out FAFSAs and, you know, they're getting their federal student aid IDs, and we've already had two or three students who have said, you know, they didn't plan on going to college, any type of post-secondary training, but now they're looking at that. Now that we've got people in the building to explain the process and make it real to them that they can go. So that's a pretty exciting thing we have going on right now. So.
And that's those things, and I've talked some with the AIRS Foundation people, that's that program – similar to some of the other big grant programs, and having career advice and just showing the importance of some sort of post-secondary. I mean,
right.
It's such a change from mm-hmm. when you and I graduated high school, and you know, in small rural schools, we just didn't have that.
Right.
I mean, the career coaching wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, unless you had, of course, in rural schools, everybody has to wear a lot of hats, so. You know, someone probably tried to talk to the students, but, you know, it just wasn't the focus. It wasn't anyone's sole responsibility. And so that's been a big help, especially when the students see that even financially what's out there and what's available. That's helped some of them to know, I can go to school. So yeah, it's been pretty amazing to watch them at work. So.
Mm-hmm. And that Pell eligibility, you know, when they first started talking about FAFSA and having everybody do it, you know, I was like, it's a hassle, and you know, people are having to jump through the hoops. And it did used to be a lot more complicated. It's at least been streamlined a little bit, mm-hmm. but seeing at Tech on the back end how much federal assistance is available, especially for rural students who are in high poverty areas, it's amazing. I mean, some of the state money turns into last dollar because there's so much available for those low income students, and just knowing, I mean, all those layers and having a person there to help help you through it is such a perk.
Yeah,
along the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then when I was thinking back, we never had the career coaches, but I had a teacher who was familiar with the college system, and she helped, you know, fill out scholarship applications that I didn't even know existed, you know. And so depend on those people who just took the extra time to do the extras, it's a big deal. It goes a long way.
It is. Those students will remember those teachers forever.
It has a big impact. So, well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Clay County High School.
Okay.
Welcome back. Talking to Dr. Gary Tinsley, principal of Clay County High School. So I didn't ask you. So I do talk to a lot of people, and so getting your doctorate along the way, that's a big deal. Sometimes people don't understand pursuing all these additional degrees.
Right.
What led you to do that? What made you decide to do that?
They used to have a LEAD conference for school leaders, and I attended the last one of those that they had. And Fred Hardeman had a booth set up, and I talked to the gentleman there, and just ended up applying and going through with it. And it was a rewarding experience. It's a lot of work, you know. It was pretty difficult getting through it, but yeah, it's been worth it.
Yeah. Did you ever think that you would go that far?
No. At one point I did, and then my wife and I have three kids. You know, we've got a senior, Natalie, and my son, Nate. And then I've also got a little girl in kindergarten, Nora. And so kind of at some point, I was just moving through life. And then, of course, ran into the gentleman at the booth there and just got to talking and decided to pursue it. So
Just happened yeah. along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, the funny thing is, again, coming from a small school myself, it's not something that you ever really – it had never crossed my mind. That would be something that I would want to set out to accomplish, but you walk through life, and do you ever use it as a tool of encouragement to your current students, just to say, hey, there are things that you can accomplish, you know, look what I've managed to accomplish.
Yeah, actually, just today, talking with a student who was considering pursuing another option, and that was part of the example I gave. They were sharing they weren't comfortable around, you know, people, and just, you know, having some issues there. And I said, hey, I was the biggest introvert there was. Never would have saw myself as a teacher, as a principal, anyone who was going to have to talk to anybody. And then, you know, here I am, I've with a doctorate. So I actually used that example today. So
And encouraging them to pursue something.
Right.
I mean, you know, after high school, there's – whatever it is, I think we're doing a better job as a state, as educators, to say post-secondary something,
anything. Yes, absolutely. And that's, what I was telling that student today, I said, right now your experience is so small, you know, you need to get out, you know, stay with it, get out, you know, see what's available out there, because you know, they just don't know. There's so many things that they can do in this life, and, you know, just getting them to see that and actually taking them. The Ayers Foundation is taking our seniors on several college trips this year just to go see and see what's out there. And some of that's 2-year, like you're saying. Some of it's TCAT. Some of it's 4-year. Just so they can see all their options and have something to choose from. So.
And to build that out, I had spoken to an FFA teacher who was here, and he said that he took the students to – they went to a national conference Mm-hmm. And they, I think they had placed something in the state, and but they wanted to go. And so he took them, and he said that there were some students on that trip that had never been on an escalator. Like they had just never been on an escalator. And so he said to give them that experience, first of all, was rewarding for him, but just for them to see outside. And obviously you all, you know, in small towns, you hope that they'll come back. Mm-hmm. You know, you hope that if they go to be teachers or, if, you know, they go to be businessmen, that they'll bring – somebody would bring that back to the community along the way. Do you have those conversations?
Yeah. You know, we talk to them. Of course, they're, you know, the opportunities for jobs aren't as high. But, you know, there are people now who drive back and forth to Putnam County or you know, to do – for various professions, they choose to come back to Clay County and live there. But definitely teachers, you know, the majority of our staff, you know, grew up in Clay County. So couldn't do without them. We're thankful that they go out and get their college degree and choose to come back and serve our community.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I saw on the news page is that you all were working on a CTE building. So is that grant funded, or did you have to kind of have that out with the county commission to get funding for that?
Well, of course, it's my first year back in Clay County after a while. I believe it may have been ESSER funds. I think so. I've walked through it and it's almost finished. They're getting the final touches on it, and we're excited to get to be able to move some classes out there and get going with that.
What all do you think you'll have in there, or would you like to have in there?
We've discussed different things. We have a strong FFA program, and of course, they've got a lot of stuff. You know, mm-hmm. they, you know, FFA mm-hmm. uses a lot of equipment, and so we're looking at maybe expanding that, using that building to help alleviate some of that. Because right now they're in the main building, but other than that, we'll see. We're gonna see what happens here.
Yeah, and I think we've done well, Governor Lee and the state of Tennessee in general funding technical and vocational.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been a lot of funding, and there's been so many buildings and so many opportunities.
Right, right. When I was growing up, I'm sure you too, you know, we heard a lot about four-year college.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at some point along the way, you know, somebody said, hey, 4 years important. Let's support some of the trades and things too. So, yeah, there has been a lot of funding. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much truth in that, because it's – I think it's branched out. It's the post-secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the term now to kind right. of umbrella into community college or VOTEC or, you know, one of those options with the TCAT. I think a lot of it's just messaging, because that was really, you know, it's like, we'll go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then there weren't really further conversations.
Right.
And I think that having those people in the building, the airs, and then there are other, like the Gear Up grants that mm-hmm. are across the Upper Cumberland, having that available as options, I mean, you don't know what you don't know in a small community.
Right. And we have Gear Up as well. And right now it's in the 7th and 8th grade, I believe. They're going to come mm-hmm. up next year with those students. So looking forward to that, working with them as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's a long-term, mm-hmm. that's a long-term grant. That one, yeah. that one goes on, because they work with seniors, but then they stick with that one group of 7th and 8th right. graders all the way through.
Yeah, I believe it will end with this year's 7th graders when they graduate. So, yeah, they'll be with them for a long time, which helps having someone there to be consistent with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Along the way. And so that – do you – and I know this could be Jackson County or Clay County. Do you spend time pursuing those kind of projects, looking for, or having people at the central office, hey, there's this grant that's available, can you write that? How much in the weeds do you get, I guess, is the question, with that kind of project?
So far, I haven't gotten too far in the weeds. We've applied for a couple of small grants over the years, you know, $4,000 here, $5,000 there. But as far as large grants, I've never pursued anything like that. Those have always come from the district level.
Yeah, the district level. And a good grant writer, I know it's hard, sometimes hard to justify those things, but a good grant writer can pay their salary,
they're
you know, pretty quickly.
Worth their weight in gold.
For sure. Really, yeah, if you get somebody in place, and especially if they're good at finding those things that fit the counties along the way. So, Okay, well, let's take a short break, and we'll come back and talk in the last segment a little bit more about Clay County.
Okay.
Welcome back. Talking to Dr. Gary Tinsley, principal at Clay County High School, formerly Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
So it moved around a little bit. So one of the questions I have in here that I always like to ask is what does day to day look like as a principal? I think sometimes for listeners and for people that are outside education, you know, we have ideas about what you do during the day, but what does that look like?
Right. Well, you know, it depends on the day, but you hope that your school is run smoothly. You know, students are always in class, and you know, and so most days I'm going to spend some time in the office reading emails, responding, doing things like that. Today we had some students request some help with some forms getting filled out, so you know, help them with that. Spend a little time. You know, occasionally, not every day. I wish it was. I probably need to set a goal for myself to do a better job with this. But getting into classrooms, getting to see the teachers teach, that's one of the most rewarding things about being an administrator, is getting to watch other teachers and learn from them. And we have a wonderful staff. You know, signing checks, you know, administrators, we got to take care of work with our bookkeepers closely. You know, and really just anything that comes along. Like right now, we've got the it's called the Be Pro, Be Proud truck that our CTE director, Miss Amy Dotson, she got to come to the school for us. So we've been organizing that, getting students out there to see it. It's very interesting. They get hands-on experience with some trades-type skills. And so, you know, just whatever comes up in the day. So
always yeah. Something.
Yes, there's always something.
Yeah, from the, you know, somebody's stopping by from the State Board of Ed all the way down to the toilet's clogged.
Right.
And we need you to fix it. We need, yep, you know. Yep.
Fire marshal shows up, you got a fire inspection. You don't, you know. So, yeah, just it stays pretty busy.
Yeah, a lot of things to balance. I know that Clay County is the high school. You've had a lot of really good sports teams over the years. Now, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's no sore spot there between Jackson County and you all when you play.
Right. Yeah, that's an old time rivalry right there. It's a lot of fun. So played this week in volleyball and football. Well, over the last week or so, we've played in football and volleyball. So
okay.
But yes, a lot of success in sports over the years. We've got, you know, the girls and boys basketball both won state championships. The football competed a few years ago in the state championship. So. Just over the years, a lot of athletic excellence and academic excellence as well. So.
Mm-hmm. What's the secret? I have some theories on a small, you know, being such a small school, but having that level of success.
You know, being from Clay County and just knowing a lot of the recent success, knowing those families and seeing them grow up. You know, I just think everybody's all in from the beginning. You know, they you know, a lot of travel ball. Not all of them play travel ball, though. But, you know, their parents are into it, and they're helping them. And, you know, there's open gyms and practices. And, you know, it's just a community involvement thing where, you know, people are just on the same page about it. You know, it's important to them. So they're successful with it.
Mm-hmm. And is the schools, the way your schools are set up, do you have a K-8 or is there elementary to middle school?
So Clay County has three schools. There's Herman Springs School, which is a K-8,
okay.
pre-K-8. And then we have Salina K-8, and it's pre-K through 8 as well.
Okay.
And then both of those feed Clay County High School.
Okay. So that one of my theories, one of the things I felt like I saw with Upperman, and of course Upperman now has grown. I mean, they've had such an enrollment growth that they've kind of changed. But I saw a lot of those teams started together mm-hmm. in first grade. I mean,
right.
I mean they were 6 and 7 year olds playing together, mm-hmm. and they moved together up through so many years.
I guess that's what I'm saying when it's all in. Like they do, there's a cohesiveness there. I feel like. You know, new players move in, you know, some might move away, but But yeah, overall, there's a focus as a group all the way up. So yeah, it breeds success.
Yeah, kind of gives that edge.
Yeah,
because you know, you take my daughter plays volleyball at CHS, and there's some time, you know, when all those middle schools feed into the high school, there's some time that it takes to build that team and to build that community. You know, because they don't know each other. I mean, they just don't know each other. And there's a lot of skill to choose from, but you still have to build that unity and that team. And I think it can be difficult. But I think when you're there together, and that was me. So I graduated from Coalfield High School, and I graduated with fewer than 40 in my class, but there were 25 at least or more that I started kindergarten with.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, we were there from the beginning all the way through. And so, you know, yeah. I mean, I know what they're thinking before they say
it. And anybody who knows high school football knows Coalfield, for the size school it is, has produced a lot of good teams over the years.
And I think that's part of the secret. That's a piece of it. You know, it's a lot of dedication. And I think that it's important in those communities, in that size community, it's important to have something productive to do. I mean, just in general, because I think if you don't have that something that you're into,
right,
you're into something that you shouldn't be.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Idle hands. That's it is important. And, you know, in small towns, a lot of times, sports and activities like that, that's all they have. So
yeah, is all there is to do.
Right.
Okay. Changing gears just a little bit. You've been in the school systems for a while. We won't say anything about that. We're old. We're not going to say that. So how do you think, what have you seen some things that have changed in the school systems since you started? What just looks different? If you fast forward, if you drop back 20 years, drop forward to today.
You know, I guess one of the biggest changes, just walking into a classroom, I feel like when I started teaching, you know, classrooms, the majority of them were still, you know, we're sitting in rows, and some of them it still is, but you know, we're sitting in rows, we're not talking, we're listening to the teacher, and then we're doing some assignments. And over the years, we have transitioned into, you know, that's necessary sometimes, but we also want students to be doing the work. We want them to be demonstrating that they have mastered this concept. So I think we've moved. We see more group work, more, you know, you show me how to do this, you know. So and I think that's been a good change, that kids are we're now focusing on kids need to show us that they can, you know, they can do the work. So.
And that can be tricky with students that have been in the cell phone age and through COVID.
Right.
Having that social interaction, having you know, having to talk to the teacher, having that group work, it can be difficult.
Yes, yeah, it is. You know, and I think about me, and there wasn't as much group work when I was in school, but you know, I was extremely introverted, and that was not something I look forward to.
Yeah.
So you know, successful teachers I've seen, they've got, you know, assignments for each kid, like a role they fill in that group, and they usually know that there's going to be an introvert, and you know, try to adjust for that.
Try to fill that role. Yeah. Well, and so mentioning cell phones, I imagine you all have new policies.
Yeah. You know, it's been a policy that phones were, you know, they were allowed at school, but, you know, didn't need to be seen, especially during instruction time. So with the new state law, you know, we've just really refocused teachers on that and the students, that during instruction time, you know, phones shouldn't be out. And so we've had a little bit of an increase of students being, you know, the phones being taken up, being sent to the office. And but overall, it hasn't been too big of an issue. So
that's good. Well, I hear a lot, and I have a high school, my youngest in high school, and so I hear a lot of feedback from her, and it's been fine. She said that she's kind of liked it because, you know, you can sit and have conversations at lunch. Everybody's not just, you know, got their nose down like it used to be. And so, but I've also heard from a lot of teachers who have said they've really seen a difference, just a dramatic difference in students interacting with each other and with the teachers.
Right. And forgive me, I can't remember where I read it. It's been a few weeks ago. But I saw it was a study where they had kids take tests with a phone just face down on their desk or in their pocket, and then had them take tests where the phone's not in the room. And just that difference of knowing that phone is not available, it made a difference in how they scored. So, yeah, I'm definitely pro less screen time, less having a way of communicating with other people while you're in the classroom. It is a distraction. I think the research is starting to show that, and that's why we're starting to get some of these laws that are going to help us out.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we've definitely come full circle from the time it came in place. And I know that the school districts are all handling it a little differently. You know, Putnam County, they bought cases, and so the phone goes in the case at the beginning of the day, and it's supposed to stay there until the end of the day.
Yeah, a lot of the larger districts went that route. But, you know, we're kind of a smaller district, so, you know, we just kind of depend on the teachers to make sure they don't have them out during instruction times.
So. Mm-hmm. A little easier to police 350 versus, you know, 2,300.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just in general. So, well, in just the last little bit of time that we have, where do you see, what do you have, what's your vision for Clay County High School? Where are you going? What do you want to see evolve and change? And
I've been really blessed to come into this school. There's, it was a school that was going well. Everything was going well. So I'm kind of taking my time and trying to see, what we need. I'm going to talk to my teachers, especially my teacher leaders, and see what their thoughts are. You know, we're going to get some ideas from the students. But right now the school, academically and athletically is, seeing they've been successful. And so I've just been adding a little bit here and there, but, nothing major so far. But as always, what my familiar refrain is for me is I want to see opportunities for students, which is what the Ayers Foundation gives us. It's what TCAT gives us, dual enrollment. There's, I don't want to ever be known as someone who would deny an opportunity for a kid, but I also want to be known as someone who looks for ways to expand those for our students.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming down and chatting.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. Thank you. There we are.